This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This level of foolishness and joy.
Losers, in other words.
Now watch this drive.
Great ass!
Hey, damn it.
I'm pissed. I don't love that.
Hey, you're ugly. You're disgusting.
Bruce fucking Springsteen.
Damn it.
A little bit of Monica in my life.
People are gonna die.
Yeah, baby.
In Jesus' name, amen.
The hashtag campaign. Something isn't cool or tight or awesome. No, it's lemon.
Not this.
Did you see that movie?
Not the lemon monologue.
It was effing lemon. Billie Eilish, OMG, hashtag lemon.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
Caroline.
We're here to have good Christian fun.
One of the greatest writers of our time.
I mean,
he write them too?
Of course.
Okay,
yeah. I mean, and it's not all him. I mean, it's mostly him.
Okay.
For the TV show.
That sounded like 100% Mike right there.
Oh yeah.
Mike's hard lemonade.
Yeah. That's uncut Flanny if I've ever heard it.
Are you watching House of Usher?
No, I'm
all
of House of
Usher.
It's a 2-minute and 20-second monologue about lemons from the fall of the House of Usher is delivered by Bruce Greenwood, Roderick Usher himself. And I was texting with a friend about it. He was like, "I think the monologues are good." And I just sent a lemon emoji to him. And he just sent question mark back. And obviously I'm like, how could you not remember the lemon monologue? But instead, I just recorded the whole monologue in a voice note myself and sent it to him.
Allow me to clarify.
Which took upwards of a dozen takes for me to get right.
Oh, 2 minutes each time.
Timothy
Chalamet. Like this long, like, kind of, what's the word? Like, metaphor for, like, capitalism. Like, how we do things to make things cool or whatever.
Did you know capitalism's bad?
I learned it just last week.
I'm finding out right now.
From
right
Netflix.
And that's a lemon. Am I doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, that is lemon.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for lemoning out with me, man.
It's happy to be with my lemon heads up in here. It's so proud.
Hashtag lemon.
It's working.
And then once you build your lempire, you make some fucking lemonade.
Yeah.
I think that's how it ends.
Listen, he did the best he could with that. He did a good job.
I think he's great.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Bruce Greenwood's got the voice.
Got the stuff.
Did you finish the show?
I did. I finally finished it.
So
yes.
This is Mike Flanagan's Fall of the House of Usher on Netflix. He did Midnight Mass, which we talked about, which was more religious.
His tight ass.
And House of Bly Manor. Do something with that, you freak.
House.
Yeah.
Of Guy.
Let her cook.
Hand her.
House of Guy Hander. Yeah. Man, when you come to the king, the king delivers.
That was worth the wait.
The king is tired.
So the king needs a recess.
You got something?
For Bly Manor? No, but Midnight Club could be Midnight Come. That's something.
That's pretty good.
For Flanagan.
Not much worse than and her. So I'll give you that.
Yeah. No, you're right. Not as good as his tight ads. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the music, and the entertainment made for, made by Christians. We're not here to make fun of you or make you go to church. We're just here to take it to the Father. And that Father is Father Stu. After 300 episodes, some things change and some things just keep staying the same.
Oh, boy.
For the second episode this year, we're talking about a Mel Gibson joint. Or is it the third? No, I mean the third time on the podcast because of Passion of the Christ. But we talked about Signs earlier this year.
Oh, yeah.
Make them wonder what you got.
Think I wish anything. We're not. Signs.
Signs.
Look at all the aliens. Hope that priest believes again because his kids are dying now.
Signs.
Man, if I was still doing song parodies, I would have done that one.
That's good.
Signs. Damn it. Okay. Well, he's already introduced himself.
All credit to Jeremy.
Let's introduce that freaking songwriter freak already.
Trevant.
You may know him from his own podcast. This song reminds me, or his local LA show, The Garage Show. Give it the hell up once again for Jeremy Bolson. Hell yeah.
Welcome back.
Has my
What up, my lemons?
Episode come out yet?
Nope. Still in the can,
also
baby.
I also have beef with your podcast because I feel like I gave you guys some good stuff and you're sitting on it.
Look here. We're sitting on gold.
Wait,
hot little butt on top of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Keeping it toasty.
Can I timestamp how long it's been since I recorded an episode of your podcast?
If you must.
I interrupted the podcast very rudely for about 20 minutes to try to buy tickets to the new Mission Impossible movie.
That's right.
It was like May.
It was longer than 20 minutes
and
as well.
I brought up the old wound. 20 minutes.
I was such a dick. I feel
like,
bad about
feverishly
that.
Like, wait, you guys.
Yeah, that was my
together.
Bad. That was my bad.
No, I mean, he wasn't just buying tickets for himself.
He was pulling together.
There was a lot on the line.
It was basically a premiere event that was pulling together.
He was an event producer.
Still
that
event
evening.
Of the year.
Yeah. And you guys recently got a grant, some recognition from Stumptown.
Yeah. That's
which
right.
was like pouring salt in the wound. To
oh,
see that.
To see that. But it's like, okay,
right,
so
like,
here's the grant.
Would
but where's,
love to hype it up.
Where's Mama Zep here?
If Mama Zep would come out.
It's coming out. We are completed. It is done. So it's like we're just going to bring them out like little candy crumbs.
You got a grant?
We did, yeah,
what
from Stumptown. They gave us money.
Oh.
Yeah, for the pod.
For like a sponsorship?
Cool.
Or?
Yeah,
right, yeah,
for
they
like
do,
artists
within,
that work at the company.
Exactly, yeah. Within the company, they promote like passion projects.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
they gave some cash.
Shout out to Stumptown.
Which is real nice.
Would also love some of that cash.
Hey.
Mr. Stump.
I mean, you're going to have to be employed first.
Wow.
And then, I guess.
That's a big barrier.
What are you passionate about?
What idiot called it the Stumptown Grant Program and not Stump Change? Jeremy, thanks for joining us on the show today.
That's the kind of stuff.
Have you been to Stumptown proper before, Portland, Oregon?
Have I been to Portland or have I been to the Stumptown in Portland?
Portland is Stumptown.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lager thing.
Okay.
G-G-E-R, not A-G-E-R.
Didn't know I was going to be outlawed number by a bunch of Portland guys tonight.
Yeah.
Big P heads.
Big old P heads up in here.
Oh, I'm a P head.
Big stump P.
Like Law and Order Stumptown. S-P-U.
Yeah, I liked Portland a lot. I thought it was cool. I was surprised by how small it was for such an outsized impact.
Tiny,
had.
Yeah.
Yeah, very small.
Do it in a day.
Mm-hmm. Truly. I haven't gone this year yet.
Me too.
And I miss it. I used to go every year.
The trees are a calling.
I know, the trees are called. I took a little dude last time, and we had a great time.
His head up there with Saoirse Ronan. The trees are calling.
Oh, my God. I would have such a good time with Saoirse Ronan in Porttown. In Porttown.
Porttown.
In Portland.
Yikes.
This is what would happen if I talked to her for more than 9 seconds. It's like, you want to go Shisha wifey, do you want to go to Porttown with me?
911. It's a medical emergency.
Or whatever the Irish equivalent is to 911.
Aw.
Wow.
It's probably really cute.
Pretty romantic.
I will say.
911.
That's probably it.
That's
probably it.
They just say it different.
So, Bruce Springsteen, you may have heard of him.
Ugh.
Mark the time.
Here we go.
How much time do we get in?
You get 20 seconds.
20 seconds?
Wait, where is my phone?
Time him. Start the clock.
Already started.
All I was going to say. I just wanted to share this with my friends.
No, go ahead. Go on.
We want to hear this.
You know, he just announced new tour dates.
Wait, do you guys have like a fan name?
Like monsters.
Spring Beans.
Spring Beans.
Spring Stands.
No, I mean Springers. Spring Stands. Springers. Yeah, the Springers. Some call us the Tramps because of Tramps Like Us.
Tramps.
Wow.
Truly, there's no Beehive or Swifty or Barbs or anything like that. No, because it predates Stan culture a little bit. But he just announced new dates, new tour dates.
Okay.
Some of them are overseas in Ireland. I was thinking about going. In May. I
thought might get you to Ireland this time.
It might be a nice thing to revolve the trip around. But of course, the prices are so jacked up for springtime. There.
Okay.
Than they are if you go in the dead of winter when it's super rainy and unpleasant.
Yeah, it's going to be nice.
Spring scene, springtime.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, but he's doing some stadium shows out there. So I thought that might be a nice excuse for a trip.
Treat yourself. To finally, even if the tickets are high, it's your vacation time.
Well, yeah, and it's like, how many more? He doesn't have 10 more tours in him.
You might be dead soon.
You
might be dead before you get to this concert.
Yeah.
Hey, don't put that out in
might
the world.
Might be kind of a memorial.
Hey! If that happens, you are going to feel so bad.
No, then we'll go in your stead. It's going to be a whole, we'll make a whole movie out of it.
And he was really born to run from this mortal coil.
Wait, you're saying if Bruce dies, not if I die.
Yeah, not okay. You.
Yeah, totally.
You're not saying
I would die
the
and then you guys would go in my stead.
I was sort of saying that.
Okay.
Yeah. I was saying that.
I like that too. Yeah. That would be nice.
Yeah, I think that would be really touching.
My first Bruce concert.
And I'm not there to be like, what'd you think of this song?
Like
in
watching
the bridge?
Me like, okay, here it comes. Are you watching? Yeah. No bathroom breaks, sorry.
No bathroom breaks at this show. I think there's literally video of me 15 years ago saying, watch this to a friend of mine at a Bruce show.
Oh, I actually think it would be sweet to see you in your element at a Bruce show.
I think I might make some friends over there.
There you go.
Why not?
Definitely. Yeah. Very friendly people.
Mm-hmm.
The Irish?
Yes.
You went?
Yeah.
Did you?
We've talked about it.
Why, like, why'd you pause like that, though?
Because I thought he was joking.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I forget stuff.
Okay.
That's okay. But
especially when I'm in podcast mode. Yeah. It's like...
I think legit one of my favorite places I've ever been.
In the world? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow.
It was beautiful. I really liked it a lot.
That David Letterman, Bono, The Edge documentary on Disney Plus sold me on it, too. I'm like, oh, I could do that.
There you go.
Just walk around and be weird and be like, hey, is that a block of cheese or whatever he says. Like David Letterman goes into a cheese shop in the documentary. But Jeremy, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Happy to be here.
Once again.
As always.
You know, we're reflecting on our past and we're reflecting on all these episodes we've done. We recently, you know, last week we celebrated 300 episodes. Out of those 300, how many would you guess, Jeremy, that you've been on? Not second service, but just main.
Main eps.
Jeremy on main.
I'm going to say... Let me see if I bet you I can nail this number. I'm going to say 7.
I'm counting.
But I feel like a lot more.
But I feel like it's a lot more episodes.
It's 7.
Yes!
Really? Yeah,
I had a feeling.
You did.
I had a feeling.
You were right.
Holy moly. And then you've been on a million. Second service.
Wait, what episodes what did we cover when Jeremy was there?
So
first one was Reliant K.
That's absolutely right. That was in September of 2018.
Yes.
The Power Team, July of 2019. Lincoln Brewster in May of 2020.
Oh yeah.
Him wailing over Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That was early COVID remote record days.
Oh, wow.
Which it took a UN council to get the audio files.
Oh God, that was a disaster.
It was rough.
That was a disaster.
Shout out to Kevin for managing the audio during lockdown.
That was no small thing.
It was crazy.
And then there's a 2-year gap.
Whoa.
Between May of 2020 and April of 2022.
That's when we were fighting.
Wow.
It's when we were fighting, and then you come back to talk about Get Down by Audio Adrenaline.
Oh, man. So good.
And then we make up for lost time, July of 2022, Can't Live a Day Without You by Avalon.
So good.
Then Your Love is Extravagant earlier this year.
Possibly my favorite one.
Really?
Yeah, I think maybe.
Because it was like,
it was so good.
I got heated.
Yeah.
Well, it was less about a song, more of a profile of a man in heat.
Yeah.
Named Daryl Evans.
The temperature went way up in
here. Daryl.
And then your last appearance on the show was guest hosting with me.
That's right.
When we had Angela on and Caroline was out of town.
In Ireland.
Ireland.
Were you really?
I don't think so. Oh.
No, you were in Japan, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
One of my other travels.
Hey, did you listen to that episode?
Yes.
It was the Hunt for the Worst Christian Song of All Time, Dad Edition.
There's something might want to listen to in there.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You're going to want to take a listen to that.
I know there was one there. Oh, I'm thinking of the one where I think Alyssa was guest hosting while
with
gone.
Her friend Liz.
And it was really nice. And you said some nice things.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember listening to that.
I was really nice in that
episode. Okay, I'll go back and check out Dad Edition.
It'd be worth it to you.
Okay.
Yeah, or we could just listen to it right now if you want.
Yeah, let's go and do that.
Okay.
I'm not busy.
I'm a Psalms 23 girl. Okay, you're looking for a Proverbs 31 girl, but I'm a Psalms 23 girl.
And you're going to shepherd me and make me lie down in a meadow?
I lie down in meadows, okay? I don't obey.
Okay, well, here's something. You prepare a table.
Okay.
We got to get Angela back on. I know she's a busy woman, but
she is.
I miss her.
She pivoted to front facing in a very successful way.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no shit.
Yeah, she's doing great. Angela.
It's working.
Yeah.
Angela, more like it. Angela? It's like a scandal, but Angela at the same time.
Skevin?
Skevin.
That's more like skeevy.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, fitting.
Hey, I'm not skeevy, I don't think.
You're not skeevy.
Man, well, how's your faith changed in the last 5 months?
Oh, man.
Leaps and bounds.
Yeah, there's really a lot to go over.
My, like, go-to, this is like when Maren has a guest on and he just goes through his IMDb. And then my, like, robotic question is like, how's your faith evolved in the last 6 months since we've talked to you? It's like, not much.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. I knew this question was coming.
Uh-huh.
It's the same.
Exactly the same.
Yeah.
He's a steady person.
That's right.
Steady on, like Point of Grace.
Just like them. That's right.
As we all know. And Caroline can sing right now. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Steady on my wayward son.
Steady on my wayward sons.
It turned into Kansas.
Oh.
That's okay.
Don't you cry no more.
Don't you cry no more.
Man, that was such a moment, wasn't it? And when that was in the, Trailer Corps, speaking of Trailer Corps, that was in the trailer for Anchorman, I remember.
Yeah.
2003 or 2004, whenever that came out. Have you seen any trailers recently where you were like, that song rips, I need to...
No, I feel
song.
Like it's been a desert for trailer music, which I'm always following and staying on top of. Where's the good music again with trailers? What's going on?
I got one for you.
What is it?
I think Killers of the Flower Moon has a bomb ass trailer song. It's
what do
so
they got
good.
In there?
I don't remember it.
Did you see the trailer?
Yeah.
There's a few trailers, and it was the second teaser trailer.
Can you play it?
I sure can. The trailer? I think it works better if we play the trailer than just like hearing the song out of context. So let me pull it up. Welcome to Good Christian Fun. Let me make sure it's this one.
Killers of the Power Poon.
All right.
You should have seen her face when she was thinking about that.
She saw the gears are turning.
Oh, yeah.
What color would you say that is?
My color.
Osage.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
They have the worst land possible. But they outsmarted everybody.
The land had oil on it.
It's about
Black
to pick
gold.
Up.
Money. Flows freely here now.
I do love that money, sir.
When the drop comes.
This wealth should come to us.
That rips.
Yeah, it does.
Their time is
very
over.
Good.
That's a song called Stadium Powwow by a band, I believe it's pronounced the Hallucination, which is an indigenous EDM duo.
Whoa.
That's a song of theirs from 2016, I believe.
I do love that money, sir.
I do love that.
I love money. I like that money. I like that money. What? What if Justin Bieber played Ernest Burkhardt is all I'm saying.
What
if?
Valid
question.
Let's think about it.
What if he's a great actor and that's what he needs to be doing? Has he had to act in anything?
Justin Bieber?
Yeah.
I don't think
he doesn't need to. He's got that yummy, 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 yummy.
Don't do that again.
Yeah, good point.
So why do anything else? Is sort of my whole thing.
I didn't think of it that way.
That's sure busy. Weird to just talk that one
busy.
Out.
Yeah. You kind of talk saying it.
Yeah, I don't know. I came off the rails very quickly. It's not good.
You came off the rails.
Light went out of your eyes as soon as you started.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, oh, killers of the flower poon over here.
Fillers of my shower poon. That's one.
I also like that one. Fillers of my shower poon.
I like that a lot.
You have a shower poon?
Well, at one point.
Every man's battle.
every young man's battle. Filler of the shower poon. Listen, I mean, let's not beat around the bush. Is Justin Bieber a better or worse actor than Mark Wahlberg?
Let's talk about it.
Finally.
I think worse. But I want to know what you guys think.
Mark Wahlberg is not a bad actor.
No, I agree.
To me.
Uh-huh.
In my opinion.
Yes.
I've seen him be good.
Yeah.
What do you think is actually his finest role?
It's The Departed.
It might be The Departed.
I think it's The Departed.
I think it might actually be. Speaking of Marty. Yeah.
He's great in it.
You remember The Departed, right?
He's not doing too much.
No.
But what he's doing is good.
He's such a good, heat check, little pinch hitter.
Yeah.
Which is when him and Baldwin, just two normal guys bouncing off of each other, it's like, that's cinema.
It's
two men
good.
With good self-control.
Yeah.
Is he on the Bada Zoo?
No, that's Mr. Damon.
Okay. This happens.
He didn't buy no zoo.
Okay. Do people mix up Matt Damon and Mark Wahlberg a lot, or is that just me?
No, I think that's probably common. They're around the same age.
Yeah.
Because Wahlberg was in that movie where he's... in space, and he's by himself. And he's the botanist.
Oh, The Martian.
Or you mean Planet of the Apes?
Wait, is that Mark Ball? That might be
no,
Matt Damon.
The Martian is for real Matt Damon. Planet of the Apes 2001 is Mark Wahlberg. Did you really think that was Wahlberg, though?
No, I'm just trying to stir it up.
Oh, okay.
I'm just having fun.
Jerry's grabbing his ladle.
Yeah, scooping it up.
Stirring it up.
You want a scoop?
Stir it.
One for you.
Thank you.
Well,
it's jambalaya.
Oh, gosh.
I want to go.
This is such a good tease for the episode coming out in 3 days from now. And a revelation that occurs at the end of that episode that, you know, it'll be like Gerber.
If you weren't a Patreon saint, now is the time.
Now is the time. You got to get in. You got to get in for our celebration service episode. What a terrific episode. But, you know, we're beating around the bush because we're talking about the film Father Stew today. A movie written and directed by a young woman. And I really want to emphasize the young part of young woman.
She's 31. Huh?
Yes.
Where is this going?
Her name's Rosalind Ross.
Okay.
And I say young woman because she is partners with one of the stars of the film.
The oldest man.
With the oldest man, Mr. Mel Gibson. And they've been together for 9 years.
Oh, okay. Oh, the math. I see now.
Mm. Rosalind,
9 years?
Yeah.
Girl.
Well, that's too bad.
Run.
So here's what's interesting about this episode that we've never done before. And we're going to see if we can pull it off. Caroline and I watched the film Father Stew. And we watched the original cut. There is a new cut, for real, called Father Stew : Reborn. That's edited down. This is true. They put it back in theaters with profanity cut out.
No way.
So that faith-based audiences and Catholics could see it and they could show it in church.
We're keeping all the R words, though.
Oh, like that R word? Oh, I see.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So we've seen it. Our special guest, Jeremy Olsen, today, made a stand.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not going to watch this episode.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch this movie.
It's like a moral higher for this ground. Episode.
I want no part of it. Retelling? Yes. I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your observations? Sign me up.
Is a pinch hitter the correct term here?
Yeah.
Okay.
For what?
For like someone coming in like...
Yeah,
you know.
Like I haven't played defense the whole game. I'm just coming in for this one inning trying to get a hit in this particular situation.
Yes.
During the game. Maybe even the later parts of the game. Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now.
Jeremy's our pinch hitter tonight.
And hey, way to just give me some sports related. That's really nice of
you. I know you had my back. I was sitting here, I was like, ringer? I can't be hit.
No, a ringer's not bad.
No, but like a ringer, correct me if I'm wrong, is someone who like seems like they're bad at this sport, but they end up being really good.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
right?
Jeremy. He seems like he's really bad at stuff.
I saw that.
He's actually really good.
I don't think that's what.
I saw that Johnny Knoxville movie.
The Ringer?
Yeah. I learned things.
And I watched The Ring. And I learned things from that. What do you think, based on what we've said so far, Father Stu is about? If you had to guess.
You're not going
to guess
know. It. You're not even going to be able to, but just try.
Okay, Wahlberg is a priest.
Yeah, and keep in mind, you know this about it. It stars Mark Wahlberg.
Yes.
As a priest of some sort at some point in the movie. Co-stars Mel Gibson, which we already said. And it's directed by Mel Gibson's partner, Rosalind Ross.
Oh, okay.
Maybe his wife.
So he's probably a disgraced pastor of some kind.
Oh, okay.
Or he's done something wrong, or formerly a pastor has fallen out of the light of the church or something.
Left some voicemails no one was supposed to hear.
And then they got out and he was like, well, I don't know, my career. And then slowly throughout the movie, maybe he has a softening of the heart. Maybe the church community also in turn has a softening of the heart. And then they reach an understanding towards the end of the film. And everyone goes on the count of three, Father Stu!
And credits. What's Mel Gibson doing that whole time?
Oh, great question. Oh, yeah, he's in it, huh? Maybe he's his dad.
Hey!
Hey! Wow.
Ding, ding, ding.
Did I do it?
You got that right.
Wow. They should have called it We Bought a Stew, based on a stew story. Which We Bought a Stew was based on a true story.
Based on a stew story.
Okay, so here you go. Before we get into it proper, and before we take a break, we're going to play the trailer for Jeremy and for audiences that may not be familiar with it.
Why is the beginning of the trailer just Mark Wahlberg looking right at me?
Because this is what all trailers are now in all movies. They say, hey, thanks for watching the thing you're about to watch.
Thanking you for watching the trailer?
It's so strange.
How does that make it better?
I like it when they do it because I think it's humiliating for them.
Oh my God. What's the one that was so terrible that I saw recently where it was like, what? Oh, this person did not want to do this.
Yeah, they like usually look kind of angry.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, thanks for coming to the theater where this should be watched. Hope you have fun. Enjoy the movie.
Yeah, because it doesn't, you think it would feel like, hi, I'm Jason Momoa and I'm hosting SNL this weekend with musical guest
Pink. Yeah,
it's
an SNL like promo intro very much.
But
that
it doesn't
vibe.
Feel like that.
No. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I remember one where the guy was so tired recently and he just looked like death. But anyway, let's watch this one.
Wahlberg, I am so excited to share with you the trailer for my new movie, Father Stu. I found his story to be so inspiring that I knew I had to find a way to bring it to the big screen. Here's the trailer to Father Stu.
He says father.
He really does.
I figured it out.
Yeah, seventh time's a charm.
I'm being an actor.
Oh, God. Actors don't belong with those L.A. folks. They're a bunch of fascist hippies.
True.
What brings you here?
And I figured no better place to be discovered than the supermarket.
Hey, did I see you on a television series?
You do movies? You don't work in the entertainment industry at all?
No, man. Does Bill know you're fussing with his truck?
I'm his son. I'm just borrowing it.
I reckon it's a few months' worth of cleanups on aisle four to pay off a DUI impound.
What can I get for you, miss? I got beef.
I can see that.
Hey!
Hey-o.
Hey!
Let's not waste either of our time. I'm a Catholic.
What ain't that what confession's for?
I can't date someone.
What's a Catholic?
I thought you was gonna say Hispanic. Where's the water? I'll do it now.
I know I'm not what you used to.
and not what you deserve either.
Life's gonna give you a gut full of reasons to be angry.
Jesus?
You only need one to be grateful.
We're not even close to done with what's gonna happen.
The premise has not yet been established yet in the trailer.
Something you were saving. But it's up to you to decide what you've got to offer.
It's the place you told me you believed in me. I thought it makes sense being back here to do this.
Your son is about to make a huge mistake.
Well, I'm gonna be a priest.
For Halloween.
Wow. For Halloween.
We're a man.
Cuts to him trick-or-treating.
Yeah. You're violating my rights.
There's a man going around taking
Father Stew.
We've all been wrong, and we've all done some wrong.
But he came to forgive us.
Everybody won't be treated all the same.
There's no easy way to deliver this news. You have a progressive muscle disorder. The muscles weaken until they cease to function.
Is there anything it doesn't mess with?
Yeah, erectile function.
I'm trying to be a priest, pal.
The wise men will bow down before the
good news either way.
Good news either way.
Priests still get boners.
Yeah, come on, man.
Let the man have a boner.
He still wants a boner.
When he won't get up. New priest wants boner.
Ah, baby.
There is concern amongst the diocese that your infirmity will render you unable to be a priest.
Listen to the words long written down.
What you guys get, one phone call a week in here? Who you gonna call, huh? When no one else gives a shit what you got to say, God does.
Ouchie, ouchie.
He ain't giving up on you. Don't you dare go giving up on yourself.
And now we're in the fat suit era
this
of the movie.
This is wild.
Not a fat suit.
No, are you serious?
Where are you going?
No.
I gotta get your ass to church on time.
Who are you here to visit, sir?
Really?
You and everybody else.
Oh, wow.
I wish you and pray for an easy life. But the strength to endure a difficult one. Well, you can't say I never gave you nothing.
Yeah, I skipped over thanking you. Went straight to the source.
Consider the source.
Okay, that looks awesome.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure does.
That looks so good.
It looks good.
And so what I'm just guessing based on your face is that you guys loved it.
Huge stew heads.
Did we love it? We're going to find out after the break. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with good Christian fun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to dive into the Father.
Come on, let's go.
Father and Father Stu.
I'm Father Stu.
Okay, so like the trailer said, it is based on a true story. So that does need to color everything that we talk about today.
Whatever we say, we mean no disrespect to the real Father Stu.
To Stuart Long, the boxer turned priest that did tragically pass away at a very young age, at age 50, in 2014. And, you know, y'all can do your own research where the kind of departures and the similarities are to the true life events. But this is a faith-based movie of a different kind. It's a new breed. And this seems to be Wahlberg's whole MO now. This is like the first shot of a new Wahlberg era.
Yeah.
Is what it seems like. This is what he cares about so much.
Stu flicks.
Stulu.
Hey there. Thank you, Father. Only streaming on Stulu. It's the extended cinematic Stuniverse. We bought a Stu. Minions: colon, the Rise of Stu.
Stu crime.
Stu the right thing. Stu 2, electric Stu Galoo.
Dr. Stu Little.
That's right.
Dr. Stu Little. Stuart Little is already working.
Already there.
it's just Stuart Little.
It's just a one-to-one.
Gracious. So, I guess some of this happened. And this movie came out. It was made for very little money. And so much of it was Wahlberg's own money. It was his own.
Wow. He put some money into it.
Yes.
That some of the needle drops could not have been cheap. They had like 9 to 5 in there.
They have 9 to 5 while Gibson's throwing out the R word on a phone call, which is like not the sort of visual you want to
call an unforced error, I'd say, on the part of the movie. And not the first time he'll say that word.
Absolutely not. No, they do. You know, the depiction equals endorsement thing. I'm wondering if it might be helpful.
Yeah, I'd have like a visual.
Yeah. So, well, because Jeremy hasn't seen it.
Yeah.
What we're going to do here in the room.
And this is rated R, I just saw.
This is rated R.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's rated A.
Ah.
Sorry. So we're going to have this just silently playing system behind me. Okay. Unless it's distracting beyond belief and we can't focus on conversation.
So much of this movie is about Mark Wahlberg's body.
Huh.
In so many ways.
Like,
yes.
The way the camera...
And we're not talking about Pain and Gain.
No. No, this is the Michael Bay movie from 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Another, you know, I haven't seen that movie, but what I saw of it, I did like.
I almost lost Bar Trivia because I couldn't remember the name of that film, and now I'll never forget it.
Oh, yeah.
Pain and Gain.
Your Slumdog Millionaire moment.
No, no kidding. Seriously. We still took
a movie that changed our lives.
I mean, it did. If you're about to tell me that Slumdog Millionaire
it won
didn't
Best
have
Picture, you're
a
right, you're right.
Shift,
yeah, it did win
I'm
Best
about
Picture.
To quit this podcast.
You're right. No. I can't push back on that at this juncture.
It didn't just win one Oscar
supremacy
for
of
makeup.
Slumdog Millionaire stance. Yeah.
Okay, but just a little context for it, because I think it's interesting to put it in a spectrum of movies that we've talked about on the show and see maybe where it could go. Because the sort of fantasy for so long for these movies is that what they're all vying for, what the Irwin brothers want to do, what they want to do with American Underdog or the Jesus
Faith
Revolution.
Faith-based films, you mean, by
faith-based
these
films, yes. So like Christian filmmakers, they want it to be like, actually, this is a movie for everybody. This isn't like they're all aspiring to credibility and a sort of just like mainstream valence and validation that these things so often escape for XYZ reasons. So, and to the point of like, I mean, it was a movie, but then also the book, like a blue like jazz sort of aesthetic where it's like, what if we cussed? And we cuss now, and Christians who cuss. Because this movie, there's a lot of fuck bombs, there's some slurs, there's sexual jokes, and they talk, you know, and by the way, watching press interviews with the cast and crew is so funny because they all kind of pin it on the real man because they're like, well, that's how he talked.
Yeah. Like, it's Stuart's fault.
Yeah. A little bit. Like, they ascribe it to that of like, he was a colorful guy. He was a colorful character. This, like, renegade from Montana.
White. Renegade from Montana.
Yeah, his white renegade from Montana was a trailblazer in his field.
He's a maverick.
Want us to lie about his testimony?
Exactly.
So Wahlberg and Ross and Gibson did a bunch of Catholic-based outlets. So there's so many Catholic like podcasts.
They brought Gibson along?
Oh, yeah. People don't care. Because here's the thing, too.
That's wild.
But I also think Catholics would care. Because Gibson started his own Catholic church that is, like, not a part of the Catholic church. And they had to, like, tell people, like, this is not sanctioned church for him to run. And it's, like, a hyper-conservative, like, really weird. Like, he does the services in Latin. Like, what? Even on a Catholic level, like, if you don't care about anything else, I'd be like, we can't have this guy around. We can't engage with him because he's not a real Catholic.
But I wonder how much...
Braveheart really that good?
Is it that good?
Is it really that good?
Do we love it that much?
Well, it's really probably Passion of the Christ that they're holding it against, right? I think that stuff doesn't hold as much weight in 2020. Whatever. Like, I think that might have been a little blip on the Gibson radar. It's like that award show joke, I forget. It might have been Faye and Poehler, and they said... After all these like super racist, super anti-Semitic comments came out that Mel Gibson made, the public wondered how long would it take for us to forgive him? And the answer was 6 years. Because it truly is like, this is also a movie that's sort of an extension of Daddy's Home 2, in which...
Lest we forget.
Ferrell and Wahlberg are paired with Lithgow and Mel Gibson as their fathers. In that, Father Stu is
it's
not...
It's actually like hurting my eyes to have Father Stu behind
is
you.
Is that true?
While I'm talking,
is that Stu?
Yes.
Stu or false? It's hurting your eyes.
And it's also Stalls. Okay.
It's Stu or Stalls?
Yeah.
I don't know what I paused it on, but I paused it on
something. I'm sorry, Jeremy. You'll have to watch it on your own time. It was
that's really too bad. I was really soaking it up right now.
So, and then the development of this movie, it took forever. He announced it back in like 2016 that he wanted to do this. Okay. Mark Wahlberg's been pushing this boulder up a hill for like almost 10 years. Originally attached to the project was David O. Russell. He of I Heart Huckabees and The Fighter, which so much of this feels like The Fighter, but what if a priest? in so many ways. And all these attachments, all the same, like it became his passion project. It became something that as Wahlberg's faith increased or the importance of it in his life, so did making this movie. It became this gauntlet for him. And so finally, through whatever means, they get Rosalind Russ, who has zero credits to her name. She made one short film. And so this is her first film, her first feature-length film. It's on the scale. Made cheaply for like $4 million. And it made, you know, it made quadruple that box office-wise. So I guess a success, but it is interesting as like, is this what faith-based movies could be in the future? Because it was like, it got a wide release. It was at AMC. And,
got a big star in it.
Just like anything, got arguably two big stars in it. If you count Mark Wahlberg and Colleen Camp, the maid from Clue, playing the hotel receptionist in this movie.
That's what we're talking about.
She plays his mother, right?
That's Jackie Weaver.
Jackie Weaver I love.
Yeah.
She's great.
Who Jackie? But yeah, so it's one of these based on true story things that touches on a lot of interesting themes and becomes sort of a weird, almost Oscar bait showcase for Wahlberg in some ways. And all Oscar bait in the traditional sense of like, if you play disability, if you modify yourself
physical transformation.
He's out here swinging.
Yes.
Swinging.
Yeah.
Because... at one point in the film, the character and the real life person, Stu, was diagnosed with inclusion body myositis, which meant like his muscles would atrophy slowly over time.
But that dick
still work.
Wrong.
Still go hard.
And this is the perspective that's so valuable. Someone who hasn't watched
an outsider,
that's why I'm here.
You know, get those details right.
That's right.
For
the
us.
Old pinch hitter coming in and
emphasis on the D and details.
Keep it at bat. Yeah. What a terrible way to go, by the way.
Certainly.
It seemed awful. It was like your fingers and then like your facial muscles and then just slowly everything else. And you're still alive, you know, that whole time. Very, very difficult.
And sort of the
That's
log.
That's real? My God.
It was very rare, and it was rare
and
for.
And he kept serving to the end of his life.
I'm going to make an appointment tomorrow.
Everyone, please make appointments. Looking at you.
I already made an appointment. Mm. I went.
That's right. You'd won.
I'd won.
You need one more.
And I'm good for the next 34
years.
Everything good? Anyway. Well, they didn't give me a physical because it wasn't covered by my insurance yet.
They didn't cover
a physical?
Physical?
Well, that's like the main thing.
Yeah, it's like
I have to do it next
thing.
Time. I might have gone to a bad doctor. Okay. I don't know. They said, like, well, do blood work this time, and that's covered by insurance. Although I had to pay like $125 And then the physical, I think, will be covered next time.
Yeah.
Anyway, hopefully I don't have anything bad.
Yeah. Oh, you're probably fine.
We'll find out.
You look great.
Go
hey,
get
thanks,
a physical,
Kim.
Just in case.
Well, I will next time. I'm going to get blood work and then physical.
I'm giving you a physical right now. You are A-okay.
Okay.
Not a doctor.
Thank you, King.
He may be getting grant money, but he's no doctor.
Certified lean.
Certified lean.
What would you say, Caroline, watching this movie as you did yesterday or today? I don't know when you watched it. What would you say is the main like moral messaging of this, the takeaway? What is the most salient, most inspiring thing about this movie?
I mean, Father Stu goes through so many jobs and
so it's about
lifetimes.
It's about the gig economy.
It's about hustle culture.
It's about staying on your grind, most importantly.
Mindset, grind set.
I guess it's kind of like don't underestimate anybody. Like even the roughest guys like need God and God can like transform anybody kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say?
I thought it was about... Well, what's weirdly so interesting for a Catholic movie, because it's like purely Catholic, because Wahlberg's flavor is Catholic. It's not Protestant as a faith. Like, in conjunction with this movie was all the Hallow App stuff. The Hallow App is an app that's a Catholic app for devotions and prayers and meditations and stuff. And if you subscribe to it, which I tried to today, but then it was actually $60 to do it. And I think $60 for the year. And you
seems
can't
high.
Yeah, for but a devotion he, app.
But he's on there giving you scripture readings. Wahlberg is.
A greedy little
Or maybe he's doing it out of the generosity of his heart.
Philippians 4:16. I don't know.
I don't know. You figure it out. You know what I can really go for right now? A Wahlburger. Pretty hungry after
he
I get prayed up.
Off Whataburgers for all my prayed up fans.
God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you.
I like to bless my stomach God, after so. I bless the sacraments.
Sorry, wait, what were you going to say?
Oh,
what this means.
I think it was about demystifying and sort of bringing down faith and tradition to a ground level. It was like anti-hierarchy in a way, or because I felt a lot of the way I felt watching the Jesus Revolution, which was about the Jesus people in Costa Mesa in the 1970s and that movement, where it's like, what if church wasn't stuffy shirts and suits? What if we wore sandals and Hawaiian shirts and peace and love?
You think the Catholic Church is like this, but it's really like this.
Yeah, it felt like an accessibility thing where it's like, oh yeah, I'm a low class loser, me, Stuart Long, but God can use me. And he's rattling off to Malcolm McDowell, who's in this movie. He's rattling off like, what about this saint? What about this saint? God reformed those guys. Why can't he reform me? So it felt like the thrust of it was faith is for everybody, but it's just so interesting that the packaging of it is within a tradition that is mediated by priesthood and a very strict hierarchy of faith tradition, if that makes sense.
And he's doing naughty stuff that's like unredeemable, such as boxing.
Well, he starts as a boxer. He gives it up. Yeah, we'll go through the plot. Then he's like, Mom, I want to be an actor. Well, he does Wahlberg, but Southern, even though he's from Montana. Mm-hmm. But he speaks with a Southern accent throughout the movie, you want to say? Or he was kind of wrestling around in a few
scenes.
He's
going to get that statue. He's going to get that Oscar. Damn it.
I mean, and in every interview he gave, he said, all my roles have been leading up to this. This is the most important movie of my life.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Not even like this was a new challenge. It was like, this is
his Lincoln.
It's my Lincoln. Pretty much.
For your consideration.
Okay, yeah. So see, he decides, I'm going to be an actor. He moves to Hollywood. he works at a grocery store in order to like meet industry people because that's like his idea of how he's gonna like get his face out there.
He gets low key
in Erewhon or something.
Yeah,
yeah, he's in Whole Foods. Yeah. You want a Hailey Bieber smoothie? No, he gets sort of casting couched in an audition scene.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He's like, "How bad do you want it?" He kind of points to his crotch, and Wahlberg's response is to break his camera,
beat his ass,
and slam him up against the wall.
Mark Wahlberg beats up so many people in this movie, which is part of the character, but also I'm like, side eye to you, Mark Wahlberg, like not a good look to be the guy who's like righteously beating people up considering your life.
It is with interesting.
The fist of God.
Yeah.
The way in which these two men of wild and varied histories position themselves in this film, in that, yes, like obviously Wahlberg has literally committed hate crimes in his past. And so much of his faith narrative now is like, I was scum. And then I, you know, I did this stuff and blah, blah, blah. And now I'm redeemed.
But then he like went to get a pardon for it and then was like, sorry about trying to get a pardon. Just kidding. I didn't mean it.
And honestly, all the horrific stuff with Mel Gibson and anti-Semitic stuff. And he has weird lines about like, you wanting to become a priest, that's like Hitler joining the ADL.
Yeah.
Why would you say that?
Why would you say that line?
Also, why would you, as Mel Gibson, if you're trying to distance yourself from past controversies, why would you have any scene in which you're cussing someone out over the phone?
On the phone! I know!
Wow.
Which he does a few times.
It's crazy.
That's wild choices.
So, Stu moves to L.A., tries to be an actor, doesn't work out. He goes
it's
to the supermarket.
On a casting couch, which does bring up, I said The Departed earlier, but Boogie Nights seems like, if not the number two, possibly the number one.
Yeah, I would say so.
Never seen it because I'm staying pure.
Yeah, and he said he has to ask God for forgiveness for that movie.
Which, see, but he was that. Also like, I was kind of joking.
He was like, I was just kidding. My bad.
Okay, so he's at the grocery store. A stone cold hottie named Carmen leaves a flyer
Although,
for her church.
I wish it was me.
Leaves a flyer for her church, and so he like stalks her to the church
because she's hot.
Because she's hot,
and because men be following women,
and men do, and that's cute and it's fun. And she says no, thank you, and he's like, I'm gonna keep coming. He's showing up, and then eventually she talks to him, and she's like, okay, I'm not gonna have sex till I'm married. Are we done now? And he's like, well, no. And then they like he keeps like kind of courting her for a while.
So they are boyfriend and girlfriend.
They're boyfriend and girlfriend. Also, he's like getting drunk a lot. He's not doing well.
He's not stewing well.
He's not stewing well. He's stewing in it. And then he gets in a crazy motorcycle accident where he gets launched from a motorcycle because he hits a car. And then
trailer.
A car runs over him after.
Wait, so he gets hit twice?
Yes.
Although
crazy.
We're leaving out the part where a perhaps angel or Christ-like figure at a bar that may or may not exist says, don't drink and drive tonight.
Yeah, he tries to like give him a good word.
Yes.
Oh, but he ignores that.
He's like,
he ignores that. He has a horrific crash. He sees Mother Mary.
And is this part Stu or Stalls?
Wait, what?
Him getting in that crazy car accident, is that Stu or Stalls?
Isn't that Stu?
It's Stu.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It's all Stu. It's based on Stu's story.
Oh, yeah. He has a vision of literally Virgin Mary holding his face, being like, I'm going to save you. And then he goes back to church. And now he's like, I'm going to be a father. And so then he starts like going.
I love hearing the story
through
this
the
way.
Process.
This is great.
This is like,
this is,
by the way,
this.
At like the last half of the movie. Like we go a long time before we even get to the Stu stuff.
Like it's a and lot then, of needle drops of very expensive songs set to Mel Gibson cussing people out. Who's
loving
his father?
Camera
Who's his
pans father? Down to Mark Wahlberg's legs and like ass over and over again. There's so many scenes where he is just in underwear.
That's
spiffy.
That's too. That's
giving something for the Catholic ladies to enjoy.
So much body, you're
so
right.
So much body. And then I guess it's supposed to also, I think, be a contrast to what his body, what happens to his body later. But anyway,
so it can really pop.
You can really feel like
get
you're
that
like,
statue.
Get that one last boner. Anyway, so then he's like, "I'm going to be a priest," and everyone is like, "No, you're not," including his girlfriend, who I think says some very true things, where she's just like, "You're just chasing your fancy." He dumps her after they had sex, which he knows is like a big
Whoa.
Deal to her.
Because after the accident,
shitty.
She's like, oh, well, I guess we have sex now because I feel bad for you.
Oh,
she's like, I don't know what I'm doing. But she thought they were going to get married. And he's like, I'm going to be a priest and marry God. And then then the church is like, you can't be a priest. You're too rough.
Right.
And he's like, I'm going to keep trying anyway.
So this is something Caroline and I, and you can probably relate to, which is a culture in which men with no credentials or credibility or qualifications at all are like, I think God's calling me to ministry and I deserve to do that.
I went through one bad thing and so, now it's my job.
I'm a pastor.
Yes. Yeah.
And I have the experience because of how stupid I was.
Stupid, and I was so dumb. And so he's like going through like the first stages of being a priest where you just like look like a little Mormon missionary, like you wear your polo shirt and you like go to devotions and stuff.
Really
and
cute.
And then after all of that, that is when he gets diagnosed with his terrible condition.
Oh.
And then the church has the gall to say, we can't let you be a priest because of your condition and you may... What is the word?
Rot in hell.
Rot in hell. What was
they
it?
Say that.
You may like ruin the sacrament.
Yeah, you might basically, bring disgrace like, to the sacrament.
Disgrace the sacrament. Or, basically, like your shaky hands may drop the communion cup.
Because it's progressive. So it goes from him, like they say, it starts with like digital control or whatever. So like you can't move your digits. So you see scenes of him like trying to touch people's hands or faces. And it's like, it's more of a limp hand. And
I thought that was like very damning of the church.
Yeah, it's messed up.
So then he's like, oh my God. And then eventually they reverse that decision because they all feel terrible and are like, and I think his parish campaigned for him to become ordained. And then that's it.
Wow.
And then the end. And then he lives out his final days in a home in Montana and like not a nursing home, but a home for like care.
Adolescent
and,
care. Yeah, I mean, whatever. Saying,
yeah. Does he die in the movie?
No, it just does like the freeze frame and cutaways.
That's right.
Of, like,
okay, yeah.
Stu went back to his home planet or whatever.
His home planet.
Man, I
stupider.
Somebody... stupider. Studo. Yeah, so that's Stu.
Also, we didn't mention, it was playing behind me a moment ago. The movie opens with him punching a statue of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh my God, I didn't even see that.
In anger. There's a crack about participation trophies.
What doesn't he punch in this movie?
He doesn't punch his not wife.
Okay, that's good.
He does not punch his girl. He doesn't punch his dad.
Okay.
But it sort of does articulate another cornerstone, I think, of theological debate, which is, I keep calling it like order. And what I mean to say is like, demystifying whether it is the process or the snobbery. Like, is the church a museum for saints or a hospital for sinners? Because his whole thing is like, I can speak to the people in a way that no one else can. And that I feel like I've seen reflected in Protestant evangelical culture a lot. And people who come to the faith later are way more intense about it.
They're weird about it.
They can, because it's like, look at my 5 tattoos.
Yeah.
I've sucked and fucked. I had 4,000 abortions or whatever paid for. So,
sucked and fucked my way through this entire city, including some of you.
I see you.
But we're done with that now.
We're over.
No more to you.
We're over. Always hated you.
Yeah. And I find that they are the most legalistic and righteous and intense about the faith. In my experience, I know that's not everybody.
Yeah.
They can actually go both ways. I feel like also sometimes people are a lot more open-minded because they're like, hey, I wasn't like baked in this stuff. I think it's kind of wrong to assume everyone's a sinner just because they weren't born a Christian or whatever, you know?
I will say watching the movie, I didn't get a sense of his larger impact other than he preached a good homily that one time. Or reflection.
It was a very like Carl Lentz style preaching.
Yes.
Too. It's I don't know. I think there is something to upending some of the Catholic Church's hierarchy. Obviously, I don't think that's working great.
which, tell us why.
Another thing they don't talk about in the movie at all. But I also like get itchy about this like kind of guy who comes from nowhere. He went through like 2 hard things. And now he's like this populist leader that like speaks for the people. And he's like getting rid of all your fussy rules and rituals and like education.
Yeah.
And can speak to people on their level.
Because I'm an expert in fucking up.
And fucking And I feel like, and I no disrespect to the real Father Stu, who speaks at the end of the movie. You get a snippet of him actually talking about like his experience. Mm-hmm. And he seemed like a really decent person. Mark's portrayal of him,
yes,
I found to be so grating and annoying. Like, he is the most preachy, condescending ass dude. Like, everywhere he went, it would be like, well, God didn't make us perfect, so we could help. He helps us to make us perfect. Or he would just say shit like that all the time to priests. Like, other people who are like,
dude, you just got
this.
Here.
Yes. And I just found it so irritating. And like, you need to humble yourself like a lot more before you come in here like guns blazing and swinging. And the other thing too that I hesitate to say, but I have to, because it was just kept hitting me in the face in the movie, it was just like, what is especially remarkable about this guy that there is a movie about him? I'm not saying what he went through wasn't hard or anything, but I'm just like, at least the way Mark portrayed him, he seems very mid. And just like, this whole movie is dedicated to this guy who was like kind of terrible to a lot of people in his life, including his girlfriend who he like had sex with, then dumped, mm-hmm. and like kind of made it all about him and was not considerate to her feelings at all. Not super great with his family. And then just like, survived something he should have died from and now has like this ability to like see people as valuable.
Yes, that's why I was a little mystified, especially when I found out that it was based on a true story, where I was like, but what was the thing that's like, holy shit, we have to see
exactly.
that.
Exactly, right. Exactly.
Other than he was a bit of a rabble rouser and he had a big colorful personality. And he wanted to do these things.
And he served through a terrible illness.
Yes. But then otherwise, what was the net effect
Thank
or the
you.
Impact beyond
to
it?
To get this Lincoln treatment.
Mark Wahlberg's Lincoln is Father still. Wait, Caroline, hang on. So we do know on, you know, streaming on Stooly will be the extended Cinemax Stooniverse. What happens when Father Stu meets the Pope's exorcist? Russell Crowe and
oh my gosh.
Mark Wahlberg,
Batman and
demons?
Robin.
Holy
style.
Shit.
So good.
They'd be punching demons square
yeah.
in the face.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the one thing you can punch is a demon.
Yeah, they like it because they're so messed up.
They deserve it.
Yeah, and they do deserve it. So
another. Do it again.
Is that a demon?
Yeah, that's my another. Demon.
More.
I think that's a very salient point. I think what it is, though, to like truthfully, I think it is this weird, how do you put it? And they talk about it in the movie, like they explicitly state the theme, the experience of suffering is the fullest expression of God's love. It's a chance to be closer with Christ. So this idea of suffering, this very Christian, Catholic, and Protestant idea of suffering is communion with God. You are Christ on the cross when you suffer for him.
Yes.
When you are doing this in service of him. So
this is the theme of the film, I would say.
Yes. In a lot of ways. Because without that suffering and him serving despite of the suffering. Because it shows
that's
a struggle.
The only part is when he gets this condition. That's the only portion where he's serving through hardship. The rest of it is just like,
well, he starts serving before.
He's doing it for his own
to
ego.
To your point, yes. It is, you know, kind of like, oh, I have to do this now because yeah. I had this incredible survival.
And mm-hmm. oh, you say I can't, watch me.
Kind of.
You know, like, that's yes. self-serving. That's not.
It is. And it, even the way he portrays it seems self-serving
mm-hmm.
yeah. in the movie that is supposed to talk about this, like, selfless guy.
Right.
I think you completely located the sort of, huh, of it all, which is, like, what is the larger takeaway or access point, and also just to speak to the relational dynamics, Mel Gibson plays his deadbeat dad. Mel Gibson basically, he wanders onto the set 5 minutes before they say roll camera.
rolled out of bed, probably.
He like. Does not go to wardrobe. He does not go to makeup. He plops down in front of the chair of whatever. He doesn't take the beer out of the hand that he brought to set. And so much
you can see his teeth aren't brushed.
Oh, God.
Their chemistry
when you see it.
Is like almost without a tension release, just them shitting on each other just, the whole time.
Yes, like hating each other. And then this kind of like tough love, like I love you because I'm being sarcastic with you, like through the end of the movie. Oh, and that's another character arc, because Mel Gibson's character eventually goes to an AA meeting toward the end and like starts to deal with himself for the first time. Good for these guys.
Sure.
Very much. But I have a hard time finding it especially heroic that, like, you have to go through this in order to have, like, basic human care and, like, faith in people, you know?
Your question is there a movie here?
is there?
And the answer is there's two movies. There's Father Stu and Father Stu : Reborn.
There's certainly a long movie. It just felt, I don't know about you, Kevin, but it felt so long. I just was like, where are we done yet? Like, good Lord.
Yeah, the shape of it was so strange in a way that you wish that maybe they didn't hew so close to real life events.
Yeah.
I want to play what you called the Lynch-esque reflection from the father, so you can kind of get a flavor of his style. Let's speak at some point.
Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do.
Father,
accent safari.
That's what Jesus said on the cross.
He said it just like that.
As a kid, I saw a dude in a diaper getting the worst of me with my daddy's belt when he was drunk. But I figured I could never screw up as bad as Jesus. Whatever he did to deserve that. And as a man, I thought, you know what? It serves him right. Trying to lie to the world and make us think we got to kiss his bloody feet for a pat on the head. Look, now, we've all been wronged, and we've all done some wrong. Some of us worse than others. But with them words I said up top, Jesus asked his Father God to forgive the folks.
You can't not say Father.
Father.
He ain't come to condemn the world, make us cower in shame for our sins. He came to forgive us. Think about it. We ask Jesus to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. God's forgiveness is contingent upon us forgiving others. That's the deal. It ain't easy to do. Truth is, we ain't got no power to do it ourselves. None of us, not a one.
Except me.
It's all God's grace.
Because I'm a priest. That's literally our job.
That's how it works.
You just got to let him in. He'll do the heavy lifting.
Amen.
And it keeps cutting away.
Soft guitar music comes in.
So it's a lot of like him talking crazy and the people in the congregation be like, I recognize that.
There's something.
And then the other priest being like, I don't know. Like, it's sure making me mad, the casualness of which he speaks.
They throw in a guy that's like his like, you know, nemesis for no reason. Who's like his roommate who's like, tut tut. You know, like I've been practicing to be a preacher my whole life and you're just coming in here killing it.
Yeah.
Father Stu was a disruptor in the priest space.
God.
He was an entrepreneur. He was an innovator. He was so special.
I'm so curious where this is going to fall in the filmography. If this truly is like, because I think Wahlberg said, I want to stop making mainstream action movies.
Oh, really?
And I want to do like, he's like, this is just the beginning. And maybe it's all talk. And maybe he's going to be like, just kidding. That wasn't really that well received.
X-Man comes calling.
I know. That's the thing, too. Well, but you know what makes me think maybe he would do it? He moved his family to Nevada out of L.A. They live in Nevada, which I'm like, what's going on there? What is
he's making a compound for sure.
Yeah. What's the necessity of living in Nevada?
Nevada?
For this stuff. I don't know.
Like Vegas? Or like just...
It might have
somewhere
been
outside of Nevada. Sure. Vegas is even weirder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your boy. That's Brandon Flowers vibes, right?
Sure is.
Brandon
I was just
Flowers
thinking about
his
pressure machine.
It
man.
Is
yeah.
Vegas. Yes. He moved his family to Vegas.
Wow.
Catholic capital of the world.
But yeah, there's he was in Uncharted and A Father's Still in the same year. And then otherwise, he's addicted to making really bad movies for streaming services, it feels like.
Oh, I didn't even know. What's he making?
He made...
I think somebody's coming out soon,
oh,
right?
Really?
He's got something coming.
Spencer Confidential. We all remember that movie on Netflix from the pandemic.
Totally.
Infinite on Paramount Plus, co-starring Jason Mantzoukas.
Wow. How the Great Have Fallen.
Me Time, released on Netflix. It has a 9% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's better than 8.
The Family Plan, he's shooting that now for Apple TV Plus. So I don't know what the playbook is here.
Hmm.
But
the app doesn't sound like it's taken off the way he thought.
Hallow? Well, it's not his app, but maybe.
It isn't?
No, it's an app that was already existing.
Oh,
that
he
then
just does ads
he
for it?
Partners with, and he's like, hey, I'm one of the voices. I'll read your script.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, I thought he like launched it. Like it was his Jeremy Renner app.
Yeah.
I was going kind of down the rabbit hole.
Happy Wednesday.
Heaven don't have a name. I was going down the rabbit hole of like Catholic outlets that they were giving interviews to. I found a YouTube short I really enjoyed in which this woman asked him a question about his favorite saints. So
now we have a couple questions, a little bit of a lightning round from our viewers on your faith, I, and the movie. And so the first question is, what is your favorite saint?
Wow. So you know what? If you think about one of my great favorite quotes in the movie, you know, St. Francis, St. Augustine, some of the most remarkable figures in the history of the church are Reformed men. St. Michael. There are many, many men.
It's giving 2 Corinthians.
Oh, it's giving Old Testament or New Testament. Both equally. That shit is so funny.
He's like top 3. Wow.
Or the time that he, he did an interview with Savannah Guthrie on the Today Show on Ash Wednesday, wearing ashes on
his
forehead.
He's got the ashes.
Yeah. I attended a service at Savannah Guthrie's church one of the last times I was in New York. She seems lovely.
Who that?
Savannah Guthrie. That's the Today Show anchor.
She has a church.
Well, it's not her church.
Oh, that's what I thought he was saying.
I do.
The like church she attends church. Is what I meant to say.
Like, oh. I think you went to a cult, Kevin.
I don't yeah, know no, where you this, were, but
it was this church on the sidewalk. There was 50 of us. We were dancing around.
Uh-oh.
I have this video of him on the Catholic talk show. I just there's so much. There's such a little ecosystem.
He's
the way
in that room
is.
Again.
I am kind of excited because I feel like I've been asking on this show, like, when are we going to get, like, a Mormon pure flicks and a Catholic pure flicks and like all of them, you know, evangelical Christians have really taken the bull by the horns and I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
And so it is exciting to see what Wahlberg may do next.
What? Yeah, and
a
he's
a Catholic rock band,
he
you know,
seems to be
cool.
Leading the charge. I can't
think from fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh man! I mean, what else do we want to reflect on in Father Still? I mean, what is there to say, Jeremy? I mean, when you watched the trailer, what kind of notes were you taking mentally about the? Do you think Caroline, it's a competently made movie?
Yeah,
in the sense of like it was shot fun. It didn't seem to be anything special, but
yeah, it was like it looked interesting. I would say more interesting than what was actually happening.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was dynamic. What do you think, Jeremy?
It really makes me think of like when like growing up from my experience like in the church and you get maybe a guest speaker or like old like a testimony that someone's up there really going rock and roll with it and like I was doing drugs.
Yes.
What kind? Maybe I'll even share what kind of drugs. And they're like leaning so hard into the story. And you're right. It sort of produces this like authority over like your own intensity or it's like now. That's why I really mean what I say because of what I used to do. Because
I could be doing heroin right now.
Yeah,
but instead,
but
I
choose
love Jesus.
This.
Is Saul,
I'm here.
Is Saul Paul the blueprint? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess so,
Reformed
right?
man.
Yeah, where it's like, I've fucking killed all these guys.
Yeah, now I'm the most hardcore about this.
And now I'm so annoying.
I'm literally writing laws.
Yeah.
all of you will refer to later. Yeah.
Like as a kid, I would listen to that and be like, okay, this guy's really earned it.
Or he's I'd not be bullshitting
like,
me.
Yeah, exactly. Or I would be like, kind of want to do some of that stuff.
Yeah, it's like, so you're saying.
I can just come back here later.
And I'll get sort of a hero's welcome.
Exactly. It's like really romanticizing that whole portion where you're just like, wow,
it is
kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. I remember thinking, I've talked about this before, but like, oh, I don't have any like meth rocks in my background. Like, who wants to hear my testimony? Like, yeah. It does not matter.
I remember so distinctly praying about that when I was like 11 or 12 years old. I was like, Mom, I haven't gone through anything.
Yeah, exactly. And turns out I just wouldn't.
Well, and I around that time, I ran around with a different kind of group of kids where it's like, oh, they had like divorced parents or drug addiction stuff or whatever. And I was like, and by comparison, like fucking milquetoast suburban me was like, gee whiz.
My Teddy Grahams weren't chocolate today.
No, I never even got the chocolate Teddy Grahams. I didn't like them.
Oh, you went honey? You like honey Teddy Grahams?
Yeah. Like what honey? Other kind would I like?
Chocolate, because they're significantly better than honey.
Surprise. He likes honey.
What? Honey's a flavor. I don't
like vanilla.
Only barely. It's more of a condiment.
Honey's a flavor. I've made honey.
Sweetener.
I've made honey
like,
cakes.
I like sugar.
Yeah, it's just exactly. It's just sugary.
Lavender honey is a great ice cream flavor.
I
mostly
agree.
Lavender.
I agree.
Yeah, see? No, it's not mostly.
Do you ever
lavender.
Put honey in your like coffee drinks? Do you
no,
like that?
No. Sometimes.
It adds a little something different.
It does.
Yeah.
It adds a smoothness.
Yeah.
That's the only sweet latte I can get these days is a Vienna latte, which is just honey and a little bit of cinnamon.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll do.
Oh. Yeah. The only do sweet you. Latte I can get these days. My palate's too grown.
What's it like to be so grown?
What's it like to be so strong?
You are talking to a gentleman 10 years ago who would just chug coconut half and half drinks.
Woof.
Yeah.
Like disgusting.
The snowball?
Yes.
Yummy.
Oh, boy.
It is great. I do feel like I've gotten older and I'm like, too sweet. You know, everything's too sugary.
Well, good. I mean, people do not know what they're drinking.
It's crazy.
They don't know. People do not know.
Yeah, and you're preparing it. You're like, that was a lot of lot.
Yeah. I just saw a TikTok that was someone was like, I just watched the Starbucks barista make my drink. It's a cup of milk.
Yeah.
I drink a huge cup of milk every day. I'm like,
That's so funny. Yeah, it is.
It really is.
It's people don't realize the coffee's like this much.
Yeah, there's barely
it just
any.
Makes it look brown.
It's like 2 ounces.
It's not a lot.
It's true. It's concentrated.
There was some like Dunkin' worker who posted a TikTok of like, this is what this lady gets from me every day.
Oh no.
Legit is a big cup. A third of the cup was syrup.
Yeah, I know about that. Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Like my teeth hurt. Look
at
so
that. That's so nasty.
Crazy. Anyway.
I remember that Darlene Love interview segment on Wiser Than Me, the Julia Louis-Dreyfus podcast. Did you listen to that episode?
Yes.
She talked about when she was on Hairspray on Broadway. When I saw her back in 2005, 2006, she would get a caramel macchiato every day. And she would get two when they would have like matinee performances
well. Yeah.
And she ultimately had a heart attack. Not directly because of it, but she was just saying like sugar. I would just like.
It's like that probably didn't help.
Yeah.
Yeah, no way. Man.
But everyone should have a little coffee treat.
Yeah.
If you want it.
Oh, you're talking to a strawberries and cream frap king.
Oh, let's go.
In the airport. It's my little airport.
That's your little airport. Pick me up.
I'm flying. I'm stressed out.
Hold the cream, please. Actually, reverse that.
And hold my hand. And hold this. It's the last thing to go, I hear. Okay, let's go through the schedule. This is Mark Wahlberg's typical daily schedule.
Oh, here we go.
2:30 a.m.
2:30.
Wake up.
I don't understand that.
2:45 a.m. prayer time.
Not even farmers do that.
No. No.
Well, it looked like a farmer. 2:45 prayer time. Wait a minute. Caroline.
Hold on. Wait a second.
Emma, edit that out.
Hello, agent?
That's
just agent.
What kind of relationship do you have?
3:15, breakfast. 3:40 to 5:15 a.m., workout. 5:30 a.m., post-workout meal. 6 a.m., shower. He's showering from the workout and the workout meal at 6 a.m. 7:30 golf, 8 a.m. snack.
Golf.
9:30 a.m. cryo chamber recovery. 10:30 a.m. snack. 11 a.m. family time. / meetings / work calls, which just means meetings or work calls. 1, lunch. 2, meetings, work calls. 3, pick up kids at school. 3:30 snack. 4, workout number 2. 2 workouts in
the
same day.
That's not good for you.
5, shower. 5:30, dinner / family time. 7:30, bedtime.
7:30 is bedtime? His kids go to bed at 11, I'm sure. They get like 2 minutes with
Honestly,
dad.
Walk into the ocean.
Disgusting.
That's crazy.
You're gross.
Just, that's insane.
Ocean. Also, this is what your life would be like if you only had to work 2 hours out of your entire day. Can you imagine?
No, I mean, Father Stu, Rosalind Russ.
Doing 2 days, too.
She's famously an auteur. She does a Fincher-esque number of takes every...
Keep it moving.
And you can tell. You can tell the time and the energy spent.
When you have that talent on screen.
On this movie.
Wow, 2:30 a.m. makes me so mad.
Wow.
It's just like, it's not necessary. You could actually shift that whole day back.
That's also a lie. I don't believe that for a second.
That's like one time he
He's
did
like,
that.
You think that's so impressive. You know, like, I wake up at 2:30.
But you couldn't. Lazy fat ass.
I do it for God.
I do it for God. Yeah, when was his prayer time?
His prayer time was
time for golf.
Right after waking up. It was 2:45.
Don't we see his prayer time on Instagram? It's daytime.
It's late in the day.
It's lit.
God bless you.
That's
God
his work time. Making content.
Yeah, and the making content part, not in the schedule.
Not really scheduled.
Maybe that's work calls. Maybe he thinks Instagram
maybe
is
that's
a work
family
call.
Time.
Family time. No, family time is telling his kids to shut up while he's filming his prayed up video.
and starting the video. What up, fam?
Do you think his kids are holding the camera ever? He has teenage kids now. He's not a young man.
He's had kids for a while.
I know.
I don't know.
Not just little happy Wahlberg meals. He's got, got some teenagers.
I'm worried for them. I hope they're okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it's fine.
I think that about all celebrities' kids.
Seriously.
Except for Francesca Scorsese, who seems to be doing just fine.
You think she's good? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have fun.
She seems to be...
Old dad, though.
Yeah, I know.
Having an old dad.
That's got to be weird.
Can be a struggle of its own.
Yeah.
Old dad with age-appropriate wife, because she had Francesca when she was like 50.
What?
Yeah, she was a miracle child. So Francesca's like 20-something now.
Okay, so she's just sort of vibing. That's cool.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
It's not like he knocked up a 22-year-old.
He did not abide the
Mel Gibson model. Gosh. He did not De Niro it. Jesus.
Disgusting.
I know.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Those are the disgusting brothers, De Niro and Pacino.
The real ones. They are.
Truly.
They really are.
Actually are.
Giving their kid. They're basically like... Hello, welcome to never having a father.
Hello, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yeah,
this is it.
De Niro's gonna do the Irishman goodbye with his 9-month-old daughter.
Oh no!
Yeah,
terrible.
There's some, you know, people say like, oh, 2023, with climate change and COVID, like, is it unethical to bring a child into the world? And that's up for debate. What's less up for debate is that if you were an octogenarian in 2023, maybe that's not...
Being like, I want to have a kid who's alive in the year 21,000.
Oh my God.
Psycho.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
I have not thought about that.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yikes.
So his legacy, I guess, will be... Like, if you have a daughter in the year 2110,
holy shit,
who's like, De Niro is my dad, you're basically guaranteed people are gonna be seeing your movies for a long time.
Wow,
I did not think I'd be thinking about my kids tonight. That is wild.
Yeah, wait,
well, you know, this
actually,
works.
Yeah, I mean, Lord willing, if the kids live long,
yeah.
If any of us had kids now,
and lifespans
would
are only
be into
longer, yeah,
the year 20,000.
Holy shit!
Wow.
Well then,
you guys, we're all gonna die.
Yeah. Kevin might not even make it to Ireland.
we might not even make it to 7 feet.
Not yet. That's Friday.
I kind of want to hear it again.
How old are you? 7, but I look a lot older.
It's so much more than we even remembered.
7.
We're not even exaggerating.
We're not exaggerating enough.
That's true. We should be going more subtle.
You're not. Absolutely not. All right. The way this works, my laptop battery might die.
Oh gosh, this episode.
So we'll give it a holy roast, holy toast, or space between. This is how we're doing it post 300 episodes.
Round.
We don't have time to F around. Caroline, we start with you.
I'm going to give it a holy toast.
That's a stew roast.
A stew roast.
Okay.
It is.
Roast.
It's a roast. It's going to hell. Much love to the real Father Stew. He's like a good guy. I'm sorry that Mark Wahlberg is the one that took up your mantle.
This episode's going to come out better. And we're going to find out he's a Klan wizard in real life or something. Like, much love.
He's dead. I hope we don't find it out now.
I hope not.
Yeah.
The book should be out.
Yeah, we should know by now. Yeah, but no. Anyway, yeah, too bad.
Yeah. All right, Jeremy. Holy
I haven't seen the movie, but I feel like I can speak on this appropriately. I'm sending it straight. Stew hell.
Stew hell.
Stew hell.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think I'm sending it stew hell too. Man, it was just competently made enough that it was watchable.
Yeah.
But it just felt like a sketch of an idea
yeah.
of the movie. Like, I did want it to be more like, this is about making faith accessible, or this is about suffering and adversity in service of something else. But it was just like, hey, this happened. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I kept feeling like I was about to be teed up for something really, like, majestic. And yeah. This was always Mark Wahlberg being like, well, God does. You know, just like.
Priest being like.
I was like, okay.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, I'm really curious if the laptop's going to last. Let's dim the lights in here and light the candles.
Wow.
Wow. We're doing the sacraments right now, our own personal sacraments. And Jeremy, on other shows, you might promote yourself and plug your projects. We're not here to do that. We're here to lift them up to the Lord. And we'll start, as per usual, with Caroline. Oh, and we include something we might be enjoying in secular culture, as usual.
You can lift me up at Caroline's Farts. I just finished Maria Bamford's new book.
Yes.
Sure,
I'll join your cults.
Mentions Jeremy by name in
really?
The book.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad I mentioned this because I was going to talk to you about it. That's anyway, right. Very yeah. cool.
Pretty cool.
Shout out to Jeremy. That was amazing.
It's not pretty cool. It's insanely cool.
It's insanely cool. Yes. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Really
so honored.
Truly the greatest. And I like her so much. I like her book. I like her perspective. Very funny, very enjoyable read. I read it really quickly. And I got it at my local library, which you can do too. You don't have to buy it. But there you go.
Hey, if people are visiting from out of town, I would say the Altadena Public Library is a thing of beauty. If you ever want to visit. It's a little throwback architecture. The one off of Lake. You know the one
I'm
talking
about? Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's pretty.
It is pretty. Yeah. It's like very classic library.
And if you're in Altadena, shout out to Cafe de Leche. Great place to go get your coffee.
That's right.
Mentioned in the book. Oh, and the book is called, I think it's called Sure, I'll Join Your Cult.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, I'll join your cult.
You gotta say it like her.
Sure, I'll join your cult.
Yeah. I'm not gonna try.
Yeah, okay.
Well, wait, do it. Jeremy, you gotta hear this shit. Say it like Selena Gomez.
Oh, okay. Sure, I'll join your cult.
That's pretty good.
Whoa, that's
right?
Really good.
I've been watching a lot of murders in the building. Only murders.
Okay.
Hey,
that's good.
Selena, what was it like attending the VMAs this year?
The VMAs were amazing. I didn't love it.
Isn't that good?
It's like if I kind of don't look at you too, it's like it's good. Like it's
wow.
Like,
thank you guys. It's actually, this is the excellent. Only good impression I think I've ever had.
Get straight on the
true.
Old TikTok and start making that happen.
You can do it.
To front face. Yeah. We turn to Jeremy.
You can lift me up at Jeremy P. Olson on socials. Letterboxd, Instagram, whatever.
And new season of your podcast.
And also, Don't forget to check out the new season of the podcast, which these two fools are on. It's called This Song Reminds Me, anywhere you find podcasts.
I'll believe it when I see
it,
King.
So much fun. Yeah, when's that drop?
Oh, it's going to drop so soon. So soon.
Heard before.
No, I really will, because it is done. So
okay. Like, it must.
Like, we're getting this art stuff. The packages are coming. We got it all situated. So
okay.
I'm excited.
I truly had a great time.
We had great guests on, including the two of you. This season's
thank
gonna be
you,
great.
King.
We're just doing it in these weird batches, so listeners, I'm so terribly sorry, but hope you listen.
It's worth it.
Oh, and I'll lift up the new Troye Sivan album.
Oh,
I don't know if you guys are listening, but hot damn!
The videos.
The videos are crazy. They're
the
so good.
The videos are crazy.
Yes,
I'm in awe.
Yes, one of your girls.
I'm in shock. Shock and awe.
It's so good. His songwriting is so good.
Yeah,
I've always been a fan. I like him a lot. And he's so dialed in now. He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I feel like people are like starting to get it. Like, I was at a Halloween party and they were blasting one of his songs. And I was like, yes, we're doing it.
Yes.
It's happening.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Such good samples on there, too. Mm-hmm. He uses a Jessica Pratt sample on there. Do you know Jessica Pratt?
I do not.
She's a singer-songwriter from the Bay Area. So good. Her albums are great as well. Anyways, Troye Sivan. Give
great
a
lift up.
Troye Sivan, who acted in that movie Boy Erased about the gay conversion
That's right.
therapy.
Troye also literally looks like an angel come to earth.
Yeah, he's beautiful.
It's crazy.
You're a revelation. I like that song. I like that song. You can lift me up at Kevin T. Port everywhere. Sorry.
You're obsessed.
Well, I just said I like that song. I'm going to lift up a little book called the Bible. No, it's called Arrangements in Blue, Notes on Loving and Living Alone. It's really good, though.
Written by who?
Written by Amy Key.
Did you finish it?
No.
Okay.
Give me a taste. What do you like about it?
I was trying to set you up to be like, yay, you finished it.
It's gorgeous. I appreciate that. But in 2027...
Watch this space.
When Kamala Harris has to hastily take office in lieu of recent events, in light of recent events, I'll probably finish it around that time.
Perfect.
This woman who's obsessed with Joni Mitchell's album Blue, which you cannot stream on Spotify because of Joe Rogan.
But Apple Music, you can.
But Apple Music, you can, or you can just buy it. And she writes about that while interweaving a sort of memoir-esque writing about her own life and the value of singlehood. It's also kind of from a UK lens and talks about that as well. And there's just like really gorgeous down-to-earth prose that's so interesting to live in and gives a lot of dignity to that sort of experience. And music writing stuff, which I like. Do you guys like Joni Mitchell's voice?
Yeah.
And she's like, ooh, you know.
Yeah.
She gets up there.
I like it because it's hers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like a stupid thing to say, but do you know what I mean by that?
I do.
Yeah.
It's only her.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It couldn't be someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No one could ever.
Like, she wouldn't make it to Hollywood on American Idol.
Right.
But she'd be too good for it.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
You can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. I almost said Facebook.com. I mean, I think
Why?
We're on there technically.
We are.
Patreon.com/goodchristianfun.
It's just Facebook. It's cleaner.
And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Jeremy, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Happy to be here. Love
for joining
here.
Us.
Come anytime.
In the name of the Father. I hope we get to talk to you again in a couple of days on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is going to be too good.
See you soon.
I'll see you soon.
I'll see you soon. And there's nothing left to say except for...
Okay. I love you, Emma. Emma. Amen. Now watch this drive.
What should we go out on?
Stay prayed up.
God bless you. God bless you. Stay prayed up.
Bless you. God bless you.
Should we go out on a real needle drop the movie, 9 to 5?
Yeah.
We do be working.
So just imagine a vision of one of the most hateful men alive using the R word in a truck while this song plays.
If I must.
Freaking out. Bed and a stone in the kitchen. Pour
myself a cup of ambition. Get out of the way. Alright, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping. With folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. We're just
That was a HeadGum Podcast.